I was realizing that we were just really all not listening to others in a way that we could really make more impactful conversations or more meaningful dialogue, whatever. And one day it just hit me that we have to be just better listeners. Even though we make a good attempt to listen, all of us need to really be able to let others empty their buckets a little bit more or go deeper on what they were, wanting to say. Before we, put on that super cape of response mode and start telling everybody what we think.
Hi, I am your host, Raquel Ark, and welcome to your Listening Superpower podcast. This show opens your mind on ways to transform challenging conversations into opportunities for clarity, connection, and ease at work and at home. Discover how to grow your listening superpower to help you become a more effective communicator. Be inspired by conversations with authors, scientists, and leaders that will help you grow your leadership toolbox with strategies that you can use right away. Let's work smarter and feel better with our listening superpower. How often do you catch yourself merely waiting for your turn to respond? Not really noticing or even caring about what the other person is trying to communicate. Author of Better Listening, Stan Slovin, has worked over 30 years in the security industry as a financial professional with major national brokerage firms. Stan is actively involved in charitable organizations focusing on mental health and children with disabilities. In this episode, Stan talks about how empathy and genuine engagement can create safe spaces for authentic expression, both in personal relationships and professional environments. He shares stories about how this paves the way for more meaningful conversations and discussions. Enjoy listening in. Welcome, Stan, to the Listening Superpower podcast. It's a pleasure to have you with me here today as a guest.
Raquel, thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our discussion and just looking forward to having a great conversation.
So when did you first start to notice the power of listening, whether it worked or it didn't?
When I first recognize, well, I think I've recognized it throughout my whole life, because I think even when we were younger, when you were at the kitchen table with your parents and they said, listen, stop talking, just listen, or when you're at school and the teacher's like, well, you're not following directions, you're not obviously listening. And it kind of carried through, I think, my entire life, especially being in the area of sales and advisory and wealth management. I was realizing that we were just really all not listening to others in a way that we could really make more impactful conversations or more meaningful dialogue, whatever. And one day it just hit me that we have to be just better listeners. Even though we make a good attempt to listen, all of us need to really be able to let others empty their buckets a little bit more or go deeper on what they were, wanting to say. Before we, put on that super cape of response mode and start telling everybody what we think that we should be talking about.
So I love what you say. You say, so there's this one day, so listening has been, and when you describe those examples as a kid, it's like, you're not listening. It's all those, there's kind of a negative connotation to that listening in one sense. But this moment where you're like, oh, we need better listening. This moment. Tell me more about that moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like the aha moment. About 10, 15 years ago, we were at a conference and we were just all advisors in a big room and we were listening to the lecture. And the lecturer looked at us and said, you are all response mode people. You're not listening to those that have important things to say. And I'll give you a great example. It's a little story, that goes back, and this probably is for all of us. You might be at a dinner or you might be at a gathering and someone starts telling the story about maybe that they were out to dinner or they were spending time with their kids. And someone jumps in, sometimes it could be the spouse, the partner, whoever, and says, no, that's not how it happened. What it really happened was, and the person looks at the other person and says, okay. And they go on with their story. And they start talking about, well, we were at this little cute little restaurant. And the person says, no, it wasn't little, it wasn't cute. It was a big back room. Finally, the person looks and says, do you want to tell the story? Because obviously you want to tell the story because you're not letting me finish. And I think that that was my aha moment that we just I realized that people are constantly cutting off others and they're not letting them finish. Or we're constantly thinking about what we want to say next before we're not even listening to what the other person is really saying. You know, the worst one is that, you know, we might be listening in a surface response mode, but we're not letting the person go that next level deeper and to share what they're really feeling or what's really most important to them. And because of that, I realized my aha moment was that we are actually listening to respond versus listening to understand.
Yeah.
And that was my aha moment of why I wrote the book, Better Listening.
You know, I was just thinking, yeah, you're in a room full of advisors, and we know we're here to give advice, right? We're here to tell you how to do things. And yet in reality, this person who we're speaking, you know, if we would spend more time listening, then probably the advice or how we would do advising, the process through which we would advise would be a different process and actually take things to another level, a deeper level, a higher level, a more expanded level.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why it really is so important in leadership. And I think that this is, you know, leaders are craving to be not just good leaders, but great leaders. And they say that, you know, the great leaders are the best listeners because they realize that their best assets, you know, are the people that they are either leading or working on a project or at work or an organization. And to be a good leader, you have to be a great listener. Larry King, right, the interviewer, once said that I remind myself every day that I have nothing to learn by what I'm going to say. So as long as that's the case, I might as well just listen more, you know, and it really is true, you know, in the eyes of, you know, and I know we'll talk a little bit about that more, but, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to pause before you respond. You just have to take a second and really understand, kind of be in the moment of what is the conversation, where is that conversation going, and how can I help that, further that, by not just responding and just talking, but maybe going through a process of just better listening.
So I'd like to, you know, to dive a little bit deeper into your journey. You had this aha moment in this group of advisory, and you're like, oh, wait a second. There's something, we need better listening. There's something more here. And how many, that was 10 years ago, I think you said. So 10 years. And so 10 years later, now you have this book, but you know, a lot has happened in those 10 years. So when you left that room, you had a new understanding, a paradigm shift just shifted. But that was mental and not in practice yet, right? So I'm curious, do you remember a moment sometime after where you actually changed how you did something and you noticed an impact that may have even surprised you that you didn't expect?
You know, change is hard, especially in a professional industry where you think that you're doing it right. And I realized I was doing it wrong. Not just maybe all my colleagues also were, I realized I was doing it wrong. I was not a good listener and I was missing things. And then I also had an aha moment that there were studies and surveys out there that said, why do relationships in professional services or any industry, why does a relationship lead? And I found out that the reason was, it wasn't that it wasn't a performance or it wasn't like, you know, a specific, it was that they believed that you were not listening to them, that you were not understanding what was most important, that you didn't have their best interest because you weren't hearing what they were saying. You were just always talking. And that's why that was the change. I then committed almost 10 years ago plus to just change the way that I would really work with, okay, relationships. And this is the premise of the book where I think that you have to take a different approach. So I started realizing that a couple things specifically, one, that pause to wait and to really understand what is being said. Number two, a totally new approach was to maybe even reflect a little bit more of what the person was talking about to make sure that you were hearing, okay, that you were listening to what they're talking about. So it sounds like, or it seems to me, or, oh, you feel that, whatever that clarification was, that reflection and clarification allowed them to come back before I wanted to respond or anybody wants to respond. And it pushes the response mode later into the conversation. I think that was the key change for me. And that's like, I think the key change in the book and my message today is we need to push the response mode deeper and later into that conversation so that you can reflect, you can clarify. And then I'll talk a little bit more about empathy. But that then changed the whole conversation. And that was my big change. It was going from this non-pause, reflective, clarification, empathy, you know, to a total listening process.
So I think that's really interesting. I mean, even that shift, which sounds simple, but it's not a simple process because you're also changing patterns and instincts, right? Mm-hmm. But even that new approach and then going in with that approach, when you shifted that approach, was there a moment where you're like, oh, this is working?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is working. What just happened? Did you have a moment like that you could share with us?
You know, the moments, I'll put them in plural. It just happened where the person's like, you know what? I really appreciate you totally understand what's important to us. Or, you know what? Thank you so much for just allowing us to share what we're trying to do. You know, we've never had that before. Or, you know, I've never had this chance to really share how important some of these things are. And now I feel that someone also is on my side. Mm. So those were the responses that I was getting. And by the way, anyone that practices this approach, this total listening approach, will see it immediately. I'll give you a great story. You know, when we get reviews of books, by the way, authors love good reviews of books and everything. But you know, I got a review from a CEO, small company CEO, and he said, I'm flying home. He was just typing, he's texting me the review. I'm flying home, read your book, great little pieces, good nuggets, kind of brushed off, and I'm glad, but that's not my review stand. My review was when I was home, I was at the kitchen table with my daughter, and I was about to give her parental pontification was the word, when I stopped and I paused and I reflected it and I wanted to make sure that I understood what she was saying. And then I asked her to clarify and she clarified a couple things and I said, what else? So that I could have a better understanding. And then I empathized with her. And at the end of the conversation, which was really all about what was most important to her, she got up from the table, looked at me and said, and he's typing, Dad, thank you for finally listening to me.
That was right after he got off. Right after he got off the airplane, that was good.
The best review anyone can get, because that's the point. Whether it's professional or personal, that was the moment I realized, and those were the comments that I was getting, and that changed the whole way I think. And this is just a sidebar comment. People they're crying to be heard. Yeah. They want others to listen to them. They don't want someone to hijack that conversation. I'll give you a great example. How many times have we gone on a trip, right? And we're talking to somebody like, oh yeah, I was in Europe last summer. We went to Italy. And the person jumps and goes, oh, I was in Europe last year. And you know, I was in Italy also. Let me tell you, it was great. And the person says, oh my gosh, I didn't even have a chance to share my story. You know, another one comes up. I love the restaurant. It's my favorite. We have a couple of restaurants that just opened up locally around us. And I was telling someone, it just happened to me again. I was saying, oh yeah, we tried this restaurant and I thought it was like pretty good. The guy jumps in and says, oh, you know what? We were there last week. You know what? Food was good. Service was great. But you know, I'm not really. And I looked, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, he just hijacked the conversation. I didn't even have a chance to even finish anything. And this is what happens all the time in business, in personal. Leaders, you know, employers, you know, have to really turn they have to turn that next step and go from like a manager to be a better listener. And these are some of the things that, you know, that we try to cover.
I was thinking about this hijacking, and often it's amazing how much we're in our own minds. Well, I was just thinking the people even who hijack the conversation, they're having that conversation with themselves on one hand. Yeah. So often our hijacking comes from what's in our minds in this conversation that's going on there. It's not really connecting with, it's not about the connection. It's about this kind of a transactional thing. I don't know if you call it that way, but it almost is like we're hijacked by our own mind in that moment, which is actually hijacking the conversation and what happens. And from what you described of the feedback that you received, once you started to change your approach, that first level approach, let's say, what people responded to you and what I heard were, it was about relationships. It was about being validated. It was about being appreciated. So just by shifting that approach, you're building trust, you're building relationships, you're building retention of customers, you know, you are actually maybe changing what you do and doing, working better. It's actually helping you work better and changing you. And which is very different than this, when things are hijacked and we kind of stay in our bubble. We don't, it's just, we're still in this, in our own little world, you know?
Yeah.
Which is okay, but it's not that exciting there.
No. In work, just for a second, like leaders in work, okay, just take the workplace. You know, we're constantly trying to think of ways to improve productivity. And we're trying to also improve retention or bringing on quality people. But what's interesting is that a lot of times the employer or the leader, okay, doesn't allow themselves to understand the feedback from their workplace. And what's really, again, going back to the employees or these key people that are working with these leaders, is that the leaders have to enable them. They have to allow them to know that it's okay, one, to give feedback, two, to share how they want to be heard, three, that they actually, that their opinion is actually important and is, yeah, and is validated and is valued. And a lot of times the communication is not clear because leaders have agendas. They want to do what they want to do. They know what they want to do. They are thinking how they want to accomplish. And sometimes they'll even go into a conversation and they'll think that they're listening, but they already have prejudged and they know what they want to do. That's not a great, healthy environment. And leaders don't have to overhaul and change everything. They just have to tweak a little bit. You know, good owners of companies, good leaders of operations and organizations. There's a great quote going from good to great. You know, there's a lot of good leaders, but how do you be a really great leader? You need to have likability. You need to have a workforce that wants to work and wants to do for you and wants to give you leverage. But the only way we can do that is by listening more to what our surrounding, what our work environment is all about. And those are a couple, you know, there's a couple in crazy simple tips. Number one, leaders have to put these phones and these distractions away. And when they are listening, they really need to be engaged. That's your active listening. That's your basic active listening. Good eye contact, good body contact, listening, engaging, getting distractions put away. We know that, but we're in such a society of multitasking that's still hard to do, but that's very, very important. Number two, interruptions. We're so quick that when we hear something, we want to respond. But sometimes the leader in a workplace should say, you know, I just heard what you were sharing. I've kind of gotten some of the details. Let me make sure I understand. And they kind of reflect to make sure that either they're hearing from their coworkers or what they're giving as direction is being understood by their leader, by their coworkers. So these are just a couple things from a practical standpoint that can change the dialogue and move it from just a response mode to more impactful dialogue. Or a more meaningful discussion, you know, or a more, you know, helpful conversation.
You know, your book is called Better Listening. So it's not saying good listening. It's not saying bad listening. It's talking about better listening. I'd like to understand a little bit more behind the title.
Sure. So if I wrote a book that everybody is a bad listener, no one would buy it. So we can't do that. Now, the premise is that I think that we are all truly trying in some way to be a good listener. So we all try, even though we have our natural flaws, okay? But everyone and the research and the feedback and the surveys and just everything coming back from when we wrote this was that everyone could be a better listener, because what's missing in the conversation is that we're not allowing that empathy piece to really play a key role. So we have done some active listening, and we've even done a little bit of reflective, which I still think is an important part that we can all improve on, but that empathy piece is not incorporated in the conversations these days. And what I mean by that is that's really the differentiation that makes listening a total listening. That makes listening a better listening. And what I mean by empathy is that, you know, it's sharing the intent to allow someone's emotions, someone's feelings, someone's deepest concerns come out, and that you are understanding it. You know, it sounds like, listen, you're not alone, or there's many people that are going through this. In fact, I've gone through this myself. You know, when I look at the world, there's a lot of that feeling out there. So you're letting people know that it's okay to share their most deepest feelings to you, and that they're not going to put themselves at a situation where they should be ashamed or not accepted or rejected. But in fact, not only accepted, but tell me more about that. Because it sounds like that you're having a really tough day at work, but also the kids are coming home and they're having some issues with school. And instead of just responding to it, saying to that person, you know what, right now with everything going on in the world, in the economy, work is tough for a lot of people. And a lot are going through this, especially when they have kids that are going through school and they're trying to get into colleges or this. And I understand that. And I can see where that's coming. Tell me a little bit more about that. How is that having an effect on what we're doing here? I want to learn a little bit. I want to hear a little bit more. And that person knows now they're in a safe zone, a no judgment zone, a zone where it's okay to share, and that someone actually cares about what they are saying before there's any sort of response or a back conversation. So I think that's inside the book, chapter 7, and all throughout the leadership chapters, it talks about adding those little pieces of empathy, which is a game changer, game changer.
Okay, so I'm going to make an assumption. I'm going to make an assumption that this game changer of empathy, that you had an experience where someone did that to you, was empathetic with you, where you recognized the impact of that on you. And I was just curious, when I say that, maybe there's a particular experience you could share about where someone was empathetic with you and it was a game changer for what happened to you.
That's an important question. That's an impactful question, because I think that the couple examples I would think would be is where I was able to be empathetic and the person accepted it. But I think really what rocked, I think, my world was when they were not empathetic and I did not feel I can share. And I was really feeling like, come on, don't worry about that. Just get back into the game, or that's not important. Okay. That's your problem.
Yeah. That's hurtful. Really,
it's hurtful.
It's hurtful.
And by the way, thank you. That's really the word. It's hurtful. It's frustrating. It makes the person question. And I think in that example, I can give a personal example, okay, a family setting where, you know, maybe a family member's relationship was not going well. And I wanted to share that and get someone to feel some input for me. And there was no empathy at all. It was almost like, you know what, just deal with it. Or, you know what, maybe it's just your problem. In a professional standpoint, it's more of when you want to expand or build a business or do something outside the box, and you're not sure, and you go to maybe a person of advisory, and you think that that person is going to give you, and that person listens and basically says, you know what, listen, I don't know what to tell you, but you know, that might be just your problem. And it's just a very quick response without really me even kind of getting deeper into what I was trying to do, and also show that I was respecting that person. I wanted that person. So I don't think the two examples I would share with today was the lack of empathy, which was making someone feel hurtful, frustrated, not confident. And I think that that's my turnaround. I turned it around and said, no, we need to incorporate empathy. I want to let that person know, listen, that bad day at work, or that issue with a child, or that problem with a relationship, or that issue with making a decision that's a life-changing decision is important to you. And I want to know more about that, because there's a lot of people out there that are going through the same thing that you are. And that's very, very common. And that it's a very hard decision. So I want to help me understand that more. Tell me where some of those areas are. And now the person feels totally ready to empty their bucket. So that's why I think empathy is key in listening.
So empathy, by being empathetic in that moment, it helps people to empty their bucket. And the experience of emptying the bucket does what?
Well, the theory behind, you know, empathy is that, you know, you're giving a person a point on the conversation to include compassion, patience, credibility, allowing a person to go deeper instead of a surface response. And that's, I think, that's the key to my answer, is that we move from a surface response, which is what 90% of our conversations, in fact, your listeners today, test it out in your next conversation in a group of friends, see how much you get in on that conversation, okay, versus everybody competing for time, okay? I'll give a really quick example before going back to empathy. How many times do we come home and the person looks at us and says, man, it was a tough day and I'm having this really big problem with this project and one of my best friends, and all of a sudden the person that you're telling it to throws on their superpower cape of solving, okay? They're like the super solver. Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you, this is what you should do and this is probably your problem and this is what's going on. And the person's like, well, time out. I really didn't want you to solve anything. I just wanted you to listen. I just wanted to vent. I just wanted to tell you what was going on. I didn't need you to jump in and solve. And here's the interesting point to that story. Sometimes a person doesn't know if they are listening to someone that wants them to respond or help. And the easiest way is when you're in a conversation, your next conversation where this happens, you look to the person, says, listen, there's a lot on your mind and you're sharing a lot. Do you want me to just listen to what's going on? Or would you like just a little feedback or just a little bit of what I'm thinking? Tell me what you would like me to do. And that person may say, no, I just want you to listen.
I think what you said right now, I think if we would have conversations about how to communicate what we want, or let people know, you know, how we want to communicate with each other or what we need in that moment, I think that would be, you know, I think if we would do that more often, it would take care of a lot of the challenges that we have currently in communication, just to take that, you know, hey, what do you need from me? I have these 10 minutes. This is your time. How can I help to support you? You know, right. Because often maybe that person hasn't even thought about what they need, and it slows them down just a little bit to think, oh, what is it that I need from the person in front of me? What is it that I need? And thanks for asking.
Right.
What just is even it that, asking what is, validates.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly it. It asking validates, because you're literally trying to find out. You know, there's a great question that I do when I do podcasts or when I do like lectures and in some educations on listening. And the question, I call this the golden ticket question. And why? Because it's the ultimate question that you can use in either a professional situation or a personal. And it goes like this. The question is, when you're in a conversation, and let's use work, for example, okay? Which one do you want to do? You want to do personal or work? Which scenario?
Well, I would lean towards work a little, because we have a lot of people working here.
Perfect. This is a great one. So you're at a work conversation, and you're bidding for a contract, or you're trying to get a project, or you're in front of a presentation, and you're just talking and talking and talking, which is like what most people do. They're just talk mode. But instead, you stop for a second and pause, and you look to the room, or you look to the potential project or clients or relationships, and you say, let me ask you a question. What is most important to you with regard to a relationship with working with a X? Now, notice, I didn't say with me presenting, I didn't say your former person who you're working. I just said, what's most important to you with regard to a relationship in working with someone who's going to do a project like this? And then you stop. Now, what are most of the answers going to be? What are typically? Well, the answers could be, well, you know what? Communication. We need to have a strong communication line. Okay. We need to have a strong knowledge base. We need to know that this project can be done in an effective way. And they're rattling answers and you're writing them down. Now, what do we want to do? What do we typically want to do as advisors or leaders? We want to just start just venting our advice. Oh, we can do that. Here's how we do it. But you don't. You stop when they give you a couple important things. I'm sorry, what's most important to them? And they shared one or two, and you write them down, and you said, you know what, tell me about that. Tell me about the communication. Meaning, just in a relationship, most important, if communication, help me understand that more. How does that look? And they go through and they set it out. And when you're done with that most important, you want to respond. You do. That's what leaders want to do. No. You say, okay, what else other than communication? And they say, you know what? We want to make sure that this is a project that you are doing the best in our interest and for our, whoever it is, whoever the audience is. And you say to them, okay, so that's important also. Tell me about that. Because I understand that from a general, but help me get a little bit better understanding. And they go through that. By the time they're done with the one or two or three most important things, you have now found out what is key to them of getting that contract, getting that proposal approved, getting that yes to be their person. Why? Because you heard what is crucially, and you are going to use those responses when you get back and you do your proposal. So that's the golden ticket, because it opens up and allows them to share what's important. You then reflected, you gave a clarification, you let them then continue, and it was all about the focus of them and not you. Even though you want to tell them how great you are and how many times you've done this before and how many clients you have and who and how great, you know, you're going to deliver, that's great, but that's not most important to them, because you didn't find out unless you ask them. And that's just a great golden ticket question.
What would you like to see in a podcast interview? What kind of relationship would you like to have with your podcast host?
You know, well, first of all, I love the give and take. And when I say give and take, the questioning is so powerful when you, and again, I'm not just complimenting because we're on together, but your skill set of using open-ended questions is just a strong reminder to the listeners that we're still asking yes, no questions. We don't realize it. And it's really okay to brush off, even though we think that we're good at it. Again, what's important to me, open-ended questions. You know, so tell me a time, or give me an example, or when did that happen? All of those open-ended will allow for the conversation to continue. And the key thing, you know, there's a great story about one of these sportscasters that was on the field, and they were interviewing one of the famous quarterbacks, I won't use the name, and they asked him a question, and the response was so powerful that it was about to hit and break a huge story. When she went to her next question, instead of saying, so tell me more about that, how did that affect, you know, what was it? She just lived, because she was on her agenda. She had to get through her three questions. And what was
interesting,
it could
have been something more.
Yes. Yeah. And this goes to better listening, deepening that conversation by moving that response mode further down, opening up to more dialogue, letting them to share, clarify, you understand, adding empathy to make them feel comfortable, and then eventually then turning around so that you can get into the response mode. So that's most important to me, open-ended questions on a podcast. Going back to your question, and having a conversation or a dialogue, which is great.
Well, I noticed a word that has, you haven't said it that many times, but when you have said it, I feel like it's important. And that is the word deep, or deepening, or deeper. You mentioned a while ago when you were talking about empathy, that empathy helps shift things from the surface to a deeper level. And even right now, you mentioned about having a conversation, deepening the conversation, or even in the example, you know, going to something that really was meaningful. So going beyond the surface level. And so I'm curious, if you were to want to share something deeper to our listeners today about what really matters to you and what you're doing with your book or for yourself or the impact on you, what is the deeper that wants to be shared right now?
From a book standpoint, I always say generically, if you can find one nugget that changes your entire way of listening, I think it will help you. And to me, it's kind of generic when I say that.
Yeah.
From a deeper standpoint, I want relationships to be better in terms of respect, in terms of being considerate of others. I want others to know that when they're in a room with a sibling, an adult sibling, or a parent that they haven't had a chance to talk to in a while, or a child that they don't have a relationship because the communication is horrible, that this could help them by just understanding that it's important to allow that other person to share. That, to me, from a deeper standpoint, will strengthen not only your professional, because that for sure will change, but that's workplace, that's your employees, that's your customers, that's your community that you're serving. But when you go home, they're not going to put on your tombstone, okay, oh, he was a better listener, she was a better listener. But that better parent, that better spouse or partner, that better child, that better friend to all, that is the deeper meaning that we listened. We cared about what others said. And when others see that you're listening, not only will they appreciate it, but you'll appreciate that they appreciate it, and you will be happier. And we need that in our society today. Look at what goes on the news. No one's listening to anybody. No one is hearing anybody. And when they are, it's almost lip service. It's response mode again. It's not understanding. What I think my deeper takeaway, and I hope, is that a person will pause, not just to hear what the other person is saying, but to engage more so that the relationships will be stronger, that the respect will be more meaningful. And at the end of the day, that person looks in the mirror and says, you know what? I'm making a difference. I'm helping others. Others will then, I'm paying it forward. And I'm doing that by allowing people to voice what's important and most important to them. Is that too deep? Is that too deep?
No, that was perfect. In fact, I was thinking, I think you've just said everything you need to say today. No, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. I'm glad we went deeper on that question.
Yeah.
Because I noticed for myself, as you were sharing that deeper part, that resonates in a way that is beyond the words, where the listening piece is really about better relationships with the people that we care about, better relationships in our life, even with the situations that we live in. That in of itself would makes a better world, right? And that's what we really wish for. Yeah.
You know, just real quickly, again, going back to what's happening around the world, there's a lot of conversations that are happening with friends, family members. Kids might be away at school, and they may be witnessing or being involved in things that they've not seen. People are traveling around the world, coming back and seeing things that just are right now not at ease. And when you get into conversations with people, either political, religious, cultural, community, okay, any of those, you're not most likely going to change the other person's opinion. No matter what you try to do, the surveys and the research shows that a person is not going to change their opinion just because of what you share with them, and even if it's factual or if it's perfect or whatever. Yeah. Okay. So we go through this combativeness. And by the way, I'm not saying hostile, just combative. And that could be in a work situation, in a professional, in a community, or at home. And it's not easy, going back to hurtful or uncomfortable, uneasy. This approach, and not just this book, there's so many great books on listening out there, and I appreciate being part of that world. But the better, less the listening concept is allowing that person, without judging, share their opinion, whatever it is. It doesn't mean you have to agree, you know, the whole thing, agree to disagree. Mm-mm. But by having this combative response mode, you don't understand what you're talking about. You have no clue. Oh, let me tell you how, you know, all of those are so unhealthy that this approach, and also all of the things that you do on Listening Power, everything that you're promoting in your podcast and your sessions, which are great, are showing ways to help people overcome this current scenario. And the last example, last story is when a parent could not talk to their child, and this kid was at school coming back, and they come back and they have a conversation, political or cultural, whatever it was. The parent was like, no, you don't understand. This is how it has to be. This is how I did it. Blah, blah, blah. It's such a hard time with people. And I'll take this to leaders, especially with their coworkers. They don't have to agree with the person that's talking, but they should at least pause and listen to hear so that, again, there is that mutual respect, there is that consideration, so that the relationship, even though it may not come to agreement, could still remain being invited to the Thanksgiving dinner and still being able to be able to call in a week and say, hey, how's it going? Or to come into work on Monday and want to come into work, or leaving on Friday, not thinking, oh my gosh, I got to get out of here. But you know what? It was a great week. I feel good about the environment, about the leadership, about, you know, about how things are going. They feel very strong and they're coming back stronger on that Monday. Yeah. So those would be just a couple of thoughts.
Some very nice thoughts. You know, as we come to the end of the podcast, is there anything else that's really important or anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
Before I leave, you can obviously, if you're interested, this is the book. It's called Better Listening, and it's the secret to improve not only your professional, but also your personal life. So you can check it out on anywhere. You can get Amazon or any of those places. You could also, I would love feedback, by the way. I would love if anyone has a chance to read it or skim it or go through it. They could read it hard copy. They could do Kindle. If you go to betterlisteningbook.com, that's the site. Or you can do betterlisteningbook@gmail.com, and you can reach out to Stan. That's me. I'd love to hear from you and your thoughts. But the parting is this. We're all good listeners. We all. But we could all be better listeners. And I think the takeaway today is to realize that not only can you make a difference to others in our conversations, but you could really make a difference to yourself. And with that, I want to just thank you so much, Raquel, for having me on your show. It's a great show. So I really look forward to, you know, all your sessions. But most importantly, I just really enjoyed our conversation.
Well, it was really a pleasure to have you diving deeper into what better listening is all about. So thank you, Stan.
I'm your host, Raquel Ark, and you have just enjoyed your Listening Superpower podcast. This is an independent show. So please show your support by subscribing, leaving a 5-star review, and sharing with your friends. I love to hear from my listeners, what you love, what questions you have, any great guests that you have for the podcast. Email me at listeningsuperpower@gmail.com or send a voicemail at +49 173 234 0722. Check out listeningalchemy.com if you want to help your team communicate more effectively together. We focus on evidence-based listening strategies, and we do it in a playful and experiential way so that your team can work better and feel better together. Thank you, Cecilia Mercado, for your amazing podcast production, Ivo Thiemann for your inspiring music, and Dorte Streicher for your impactful artwork. It's been fun, and see you on the next episode.